Hi, my name is Chris Hudson, and I'm an English professor at Amarillo College. Welcome to the Fall Radio Readers Book Club. I'll be talking today about Margaret Rankle's Late Migrations, A Natural History of Love and Loss. Early in Margaret Rankle's beautiful Late Migrations, she explains that, quote, the shadow side of love is loss. At times, that shadow is a dark, grief-stricken state, but more often than not, it is a companion, our closest ally in the inescapable cycle of life and death. Rankle makes her case for the shadow the same way she does for the light. The brief lyrical narratives that make up the book cycle between people and places. Lower Alabama, great grandparents. Middle Tennessee, mothers and fathers. Colorado, children, and a misbegotten attempt above the Mason-Dixon line in Pennsylvania. Besides places, we alternate between familial generations and the life cycles of birds, plants, dogs, squirrels, insects, seasons, and the sun and the moon. For a person with poor vision, a family trait, Rankle sees remarkably well because, and we should all take note of this, she looks. Her backyard is a universe anchored by Dr. Van Fleet rambling roses whose ancestors were introduced into her grandfather's yard in 1910. The roses are hardy but susceptible to particular diseases, herbicides, and the changing climate. At one point, they succumb to those threats, and she is left with nothing but a tangle of brittle thorns. All her beloved elders, as she calls them, were gone. The metaphor could not be sharper. Cutting away the dead roses, Rankle discovers a rambling rose she had separated from the others in a pot. 3 years later, a cycle lasting 107 years, it blooms back to life. Like rambling roses, Rankle propagates her family's generational stories. She dismisses the notion of closure and making peace with death. She notes, quote, "Here is what no one told me about grief. You inhabit it like a skin. Everywhere you go, you wear grief under your clothes. Everything you see through it like a film." Rankle's success in this book is that she removes the film from our eyes. In a world that has reduced the number of monarch butterflies in North America in only 20 years from a billion to 93 million, more casualties of herbicides and climate change, Rankle remains resilient, just as the monarchs do who take 4 to 5 generations to reach their final stop in Mexico. Rankle also has a deeply ingrained map of life encoded in her psyche. She admits that at times, quote, she teeters between despair and terror, alarmed by the perils that threaten the planet, and she wonders if she can help. She explains, though, that she is good at astonishment. Her lyrical sense is outfitted with muddy garden boots, dirt under her nails, and metaphors that help us understand that, for example, her children's leaving the nest is the same as the wrens, jays, and cardinals. This is a book for mothers, or maybe for our shared mother, the Earth, the loving, harsh, creative, nurturing, grieving, cyclical, yet final force that it is in our best interest to revere. This book and Margaret Rankle do help. She made me fill my tiny backyard with pollinators, and she gives us all a maxim useful for reading, gardening, grieving, walking, and living. Quote, "Lean close," she says. "Look at this." For HPPR's Radio Readers Book Club, I'm Chris Hudson. Thanks for listening.
The HPPR Radio Readers Book Club is an on-air, online community of readers exploring themes of interest to those who live and work on the High Plains. The book club is made possible in part by generous gifts from Lon Fromm of Colby, Kansas.
10,000 words swarm around my head, 10 million more in books written beneath my bed.